morning, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings. Actually, a pretty special LR Mornings with me, Kyle, as always. And today I'm actually joined by three additional people. They are Jammer. What's up, buddy?
What up?
Christine, who's a common co-host on here. How's it going, Christine?
It's going great.
And Courtney, who, believe it or not, is related to me, my sister, who has been on LRM Ranks It, did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with me. She's joining us today. What's up, little sis?
Hello, hello.
So what makes today's episode special is we have a topic, which if you clicked on the link, you're already well aware of what it is. It's kind of like a girl power, female heroes, now and then type deal. What brought this on is Christine and I have been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the original series, all the way through. We're in season 6 right now, and just kind of got us thinking about female heroes from, you know, not just like the 90s, early 2000s, and today, but even going back into the 70s and 80s. But before we get started, I got to know. I know me and Christine are Buffy fans. Courtney, you're a Buffy fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jammer, are you a Buffy fan?
No, kind of. Not really.
Basically,
I'm like,
Jammer's a
sexist
get
the
pig.
Appeal. I get the appeal. I get the appeal of Buffy, but I think there's too many moments of where a fight happens and I'm supposed to think it's cool, even though it's not. I'm just supposed to assume that things are cool, and even though when they're really lame. So yeah, no. As far as like choreography and fights goes and stuff, it's really hard for me to take it seriously. I prefer Angel a lot more, just because there's less fighting. I guess there's more. I don't know. I think maybe it was like a bigger budget or something, because it just felt like it had a more solid foundation. But I'm still not a huge fan of that. Okay. I don't know.
Do you like any of Joss Whedon's other works besides Avengers?
No, not really. I don't like Firefly for the same reason. Like, Firefly is just really boring. And also, it's terrible set design, or at least low-budget set design. I don't want to, like, you know, call out the set designers, but it's just they had not a lot to work with, so I don't like it.
That's what brought on the conversation, and you know, we live in a day and age where female-led films are they're a hot button subject. Charlie's Angels recently came out. Elizabeth Banks had some comments about, you know, why she felt the movie didn't do as well.
She didn't comment why it didn't do well. She commented why the movie she wanted it to do well.
Okay. There you go. We constantly have movies that we're trying to compare to others in a genre, say Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel versus Batman, Superman movies and Captain America, Iron Man movies. I personally have some interesting views. I'm kind of caught in the middle. There's some people that would look at me and be like, well, you've got some problematic views on modern female heroes, and others that would be like, oh, you're great. You're an intersectionalist ally or whatever it may be. But I want to kind of go around the horn real quick and just ask you guys what you think the state of female heroes in specifically movies and TV, not necessarily written in comic books, but you could touch on that a little bit. But movies and TV, what do you think about the state of female heroes right now? Is it good? Is it bad? Where's the work needing to be done? We'll go ahead and start off with Courtney.
That is a good and heavy question. I personally think that, so female-led, specifically superhero movies, are definitely more in, I guess, mainstream media than they have been in the past. And what I mean by mainstream is, like, not just comic books, because obviously comic books have had female-led heroes for, gosh, decades. But when it comes to television shows, movies, those kinds of things, it's definitely getting more popular. I still think we have a little ways to go. Just based on like forums, and you have some reporters, you know, journalists and things like that, that tend to be heavy on the male side. You usually get more of a, well, if this was a man, or in the comic book, she was this. And so it's like, there is this kind of pushback sometimes, and I'm not saying this with everyone and everything, but there is sometimes a pushback that if you do have an all-female led, it does tend to do a little bit poorer compared to male-led superhero movies, with the exception of the new Wonder Woman. But I mean, let's be honest, that's pretty much the only decent movie DC has come out with, if that's
whoa,
not a
controversial
statement.
But Wonder Woman did absolutely amazing. Gal Gadot is absolutely beautiful. Like, she would be my pass if I ever needed one for the same side. And she's just dropped it gorgeous. But I mean, look how long it took to get a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, so long.
Yeah.
So that should have come out in like 2014. That should have come out then.
Easily. Yeah. And we're getting it after, you know, she, spoiler alert, has already died and isn't coming back. And it's just absolutely ridiculous that we got like Guardians of the Galaxy before we got Black Widow. We had three Captain America movies before we got Black Widow. I'll say
we should have gotten Black Widow before Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Sure.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without
a 1,000 times yes. But it female superheroes in main media like that are always put on the back burner. Always. They're never first.
Okay, so let's go with an ABAB pattern here. Jammer, your comments on the state.
I mean, I agree with her. I think we've come a long way over the past handful of years, but we still have quite a ways to go. They have been in the back burner. And even at Marvel Studios, as she mentioned until recently, I think a lot of it had to do with Ike Perlmutter, who's very much he's the head of Marvel Entertainment, he's the head of Marvel Entertainment and was sort of the top guy over even Marvel Studios up until a few years ago. And I think he was probably like one of those guys. He's like a real penny pincher, very much old school mentality. Oh, the audience don't like female leads. We're not going to do with that, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. So they're kind of trying to make up for lost ground there. And same thing on TV. I think we're getting there, but we still need a lot more. What it comes down to is in every movie and every franchise, we often still have the problem where there are so few females that female needs to fill the quota across the board. She can't just be a character. She has to be like the best character. She has to be the most this, the best this, the whatever that. Simply because there aren't enough different females in each property to, I don't know, show the fact that there are different types of women across the board. So I think that was sort of a big problem that I see. And that's why I really am kind of excited for Birds of Prey. Because even if the movie isn't any good, one thing it has that I don't really know how many movies out there do is it's like, oh, there's not just a bunch of dudes and then the chick. It's, oh, there's this kind of girl and this type of woman and this type of girl and this type of woman and... You know, oh my God, surprise, not all women are the same. Like, it's great that mm-hmm. you're going to have variety to show like, oh yeah, women are different.
Where you might, instead of running the risk of having the OP argument, the overpowered
right.
argument.
Which is, you know, as much as I love there. Wonder Woman, and they did a great job of making her pretty well-rounded, given the fact that she is pretty overpowered. They didn't do that as well with Captain Marvel, and they fell into the trap where it's like, because she is kind of the only main woman, she has to be the best because they're overcompensating.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the wrong way to do it. I think we just need more representation across the board, not just women, but, you know, people of color and all that stuff. So that's why I'm in favor of that, is because when you have more, you're able to have more nuance in the different characters and kind of show that, you know, no one is just a stereotype.
There you go. Christine?
Honestly, like, I agree with Jammer a little bit, but then there's like sometimes where it's just too much and it's uncomfortable to watch. It takes me out of the movie and I'm like, what were you doing? Like with Endgame and, you know, just watching, you know, she's got help and it's like every single woman right there. It's like, that's stupid. You know, things like that, or, you know, a girl is too mean. You know, just moments like that where it's just like, you please don't do that. Just kind of take it easy, let it flow, have a realistic character and not too extreme in you know, with her abilities, her attitude, just something that's just a little more real.
Can I comment on that really quick?
Because sure.
I think that's kind of a symptom of the problem that I pointed out, where it's because Marvel hasn't been so good with their women that they felt the need to sort of flex that muscle and be like, yeah, we have all these women's. Also, I know a lot of women who really like that part because of the fact growing up is they didn't have those sort of idols to look up to. So the fact that they now have it, they're like, oh, cool. I forgot there are all these amazing women in this universe. So it's a problem because they're flexing it when they shouldn't have to. And B, I feel like it's just, I don't know, it just kind of proves the point in a way that we should have more. That way we don't feel the need to show something that's sort of cheesy and unrealistic to compensate for it.
Yeah, like for me, I want something that's realistic. I don't want to just, like, I'm not going to pat someone on the back for doing the right thing. It's just, you know, for like, oh, look at what I did. It's like, no, kind of just let it be natural, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle.
Also one last thing. If it was if really quick, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But if it had been a bunch of dudes, I don't know if we would have been having the same conversation. That's another thing.
I don't think there would have ever been, except for when the team is made up of nothing but dudes. I don't think you would have ever had a he's got help moment. But I agree with Jammer that it was compensating. It was giving a moment. Because they haven't had enough in the past, but like Christine said, it comes off as the word that was used often was forced, and I kind of agree with Christine on that end, is that it felt forced, but I get Jammer's point of if we had had more moments with females in twos and threes throughout multiple movies, there you wouldn't have felt the need for that, and pretty much everybody's kind of taken a little bit of my thunder. The state of female heroes it's definitely better than where it's been in the past. Our females heroes are no longer just eye candy. They're taken serious across multiple mediums. They exist. They do make money, and that's a good thing. My biggest issue, and this will be kind of like going into the next part of the discussion, is the way that I feel society today has a case of history of now and forget tomorrow, that only the characters that exist today, there were no trailblazers, there were no Xena, there was no Ellen Ripley, there was no
Sarah Connors.
There wasn't even a Katniss Everdeen or whatever. Like, we've already forgotten the Hunger Games. There's only Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, and the Batwoman on the CW. I feel like sometimes, and I always go to this panel from a New York Comic Con in 2016 that really showed this symptom in fandoms of forgetting what came before. It was a Doctor Who panel, and a young lady got up and was talking to, this was when Capaldi was the doctor, and he was getting a new female companion who was I think she was African American. I'm not sure. Probably not African American. Probably just black.
Yeah.
Well, no. He's had American one before. I thought that one was going to be American too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because what was the one before her? That one was white, and I thought it was going to be another American. But anyways, he has had. American. God, what was Clara. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyways, but a female of color was going to be the next one. I thought it was American, maybe not. Anyways, and she, the person asking the question was like, you know, what's it like, you know, being a person of color and this companion? It's a big deal, and it's like, hello, Martha Jones. Hello, interracial couple beforehand with Rose and her boyfriend, like people of color in Doctor Who, in the new Doctor Who, since the 10th Doctor isn't a rarity. So I get upset when we forget about the trailblazers, the people that actually broke down barriers. Like, you know, nobody. You hear people complain about Rey being overpowered, or in Star Wars, or Captain Marvel being overpowered, but nobody really complained about Buffy being overpowered. Nobody complained about Xena being overpowered. Nobody complained about female Starbuck. Which was a gender swap from the original Battlestar Galactica.
I don't know. Characters. I know a lot of people complained about female Starbuck.
Let me finish the comment.
Not
that they didn't complain that they gender swapped. People did. Yeah. But the fans of the show didn't complain that female Starbuck was too much of a better pilot than Apollo in that show. Beyond the fact that people didn't complain about the gender swap, which is a different topic. It's the way things are done with female heroes today. I feel like we do overcompensate way too much, and that there is this whole that they have to be perfect. But Jammer, I'm going to disagree with you and think that that it's not so much they're doing it as a compensation. I think it's often done as an agenda, as a I don't want to say what's the word I'm looking for, not vindictive, but for lack of a better phrase, revenge for it's overcompensating on purpose. Like, we're gonna have the all powerful God because of what's happened in the past. So with that history of now kind of forgetting the trailblazers and making the modern heroes gods, what is your take on that, Jammer? Since I called out your opinion, I'll let you go first on that.
I don't really agree with you as far as the agenda goes. I think we're just living in a different world right now, and filmmakers are having to rethink the way they do things. And quite frankly, a lot of filmmakers don't know how to write women because they haven't had to for the longest time. So the way they know how to do that is like, oh, people love it if a woman is stronger. So they'll write a stronger woman and overcompensate. I don't think it's purely intentional, and I don't think it's necessarily an agenda outside of trying to appeal to more females. I just think that they're often bad at it. And as far as forgetting the past, yes, you can point to those characters, the Ripleys, the Ellen Ripleys, the, God, who else? Who was it again? Who'd you name? I forgot already.
Sarah Connor, Xena.
Sarah Connor. There's like five over the course of like 50 years. There's not that many. Yes, they broke barriers, but I think it all goes back to my original point is, yeah, there just wasn't a lot. And when they were a lot, when they did exist, they often succeeded by acting like guys and embracing the more masculine aspects of our society. And I just think we're at this point where, like, Wonder Woman was able to be feminine and strong, which is great. And I just don't think that the current people or kids who are like 15 years old are really going to give a shit about watching Xena or even remember what they obviously don't remember because it wasn't on Xena, or maybe don't want to watch Alien because they don't want to watch a horror movie, or, you know, they just want something that maybe appeals to them and don't necessarily want to have to go to male dominated franchises in order to find it.
Okay. Courtney.
I would add to that. That, so you think about those big trailblazers, and how many years has it been since Buffy ended?
So many.
How many years has it been since even the Hunger Games ended? And so it's been decades. And now I'm going to drink more wine because I am sad, but I can say decades and remember those decades in the past. But it has been a long time since we've had. Now, one thing that I think people really do connect with Buffy is that she was one of very, very few who were like, what Jammer said, Wonder Woman. She was stylish. She wore makeup. I mean, how many scenes did we watch of her like putting on makeup before going to go stake a vampire? But again, that show ended in the early 2000s. You know, and so, and like Jammer was saying too, you look back, and of course, we watch that with nostalgia. And so we give a pass to the cheesier aspects of those things. Kids today, I mean, I'm a high school teacher, and I played a version of Hamlet from 1997, and you could see a green screen, and they were almost completely just done even paying attention to the movie because of how old the technology is. So if the technology is already giving them that much of a, okay, I'm shutting this out, imagine what writing, you know, or like Jammerhood said, the fight scenes are whatever. So it is kind of like in today's world, we need female characters that can kick butt, that look good, but not look good to be eye candy. We need women of color. We need women of the LGBTQ community, which is why Batwoman is getting so much praise at this moment, because not only is Kate Kane a really awesome, I'm a huge DC fan when it comes to the comic books, character, and she's got a wonderful story arc, but she is one of the few who has been openly gay since the beginning of her like character. And so they get not just Ruby Rose, if I'm not Ruby Rose. Ruby Rose, who is also this bad A female who is also a lesbian, or I think she's bisexual. I can't remember 100%. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But that's why, because people are like, finally, you know, and Batman's nowhere to be seen. And that is so rare, because usually it's, okay, I'm stepping in for Batman. Oh, and Batman's watching me, or I'm stepping in for Iron Man, or I'm becoming the new Iron Man. I'm becoming the new Thor. She is her own. And that's what we need. We need women characters who are their own. And I also don't think it's an agenda. I think it's just it's 2020. And people are finally starting to understand that women are people.
Yeah, and right.
Have ideas and thoughts.
I mean, that goes in line with what George R. R. Martin said. People ask him, they're like, how do you write such good females? And he's like, well, I know it's kind of weird for me to say, but I tend to think of women as people.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
something we lose.
He's really good at doing that too. He's good female characters.
So yeah, he's great. You don't think that there's people out there, writers out there, looking to stick it to the man with lines like the suit's fine, it'll be fine when it fits a woman. You don't think that's agenda driven at all?
I'm not saying that it's not like 100% inaccurate. I'm just saying I don't think that's the majority, and I don't think that is in every single line. I don't think that when people were creating Captain Marvel, or when they were creating even Wonder Woman, that they had, ooh, this line is going to do this, this line is going to do that, that line. Now, if it happened to go that way and they're like, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do not think it is an agenda in the terms of we have to find a way to make sure that this character shows that she is stronger than any man just because he's a man. I don't think that at all.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think? What do you mean by agenda when you say that? Because I guess you could say if you have a woman writer or maybe a gay woman writer who is found a show that like I don't know if this is the fact if it's the case, but if she's working on Batwoman and she's like, oh, I could finally write about a gay woman.
No,
is that an agenda?
Like, what do you mean by agenda? What I mean by agenda is specifically a hostile take against males or perceived institutionalized patriarchy.
So I will say this as a guy, we're sensitive as fuck. As soon as we start to see someone trying to strip away our masculinity, we get defensive. Really defensive. And it's even me, I have a knee-jerk reaction to those types of things and, you know, start to see that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's just the fact that, oh, all of a sudden, entertainment isn't completely revolving around us. And we're just going to have to deal with that. That doesn't necessarily take away from what we have.
I
like you.
Christine, go ahead. What do you have to say on the forgetting or glancing over Trailblazers? Is there agenda? Is there not agendas? Things like that. What's your take?
I just think that they still need to there's a lot that they still need to figure out on how to write. Like you had just mentioned, the line from Batwoman where it's like, yeah, no, that didn't come out right.
It's a cringy line. Worded differently. It's just it's a badly written line.
Yeah. And you know, just things like that where it's like, let me think. Like with Rey, yeah, she's got a lot of power, like a little too much, but at least like they've got like some character development, as far as like, you know, her being like outside of the power, you know, like the stuff that is her, like she was helping BB-8 and, you know, excited about, you know, like Luke Skywalker. Oh gosh. You know, so they've got moments like that in some things. Some it's kind of like you had mentioned the Hunger Games, I think the last one was it 2015?
Somewhere around there.
A while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a while, but it's not too far gone. And I know like Divergent sucked. Ugh. Compared to Hunger Games, like, you know, just wasn't as good of a series.
And I know Courtney was just brokenhearted when the is it Mortal Instruments turned out to flop.
Oh, don't talk to me about that.
Yeah, like there's some things, like sadly, like with Joss Whedon, since we keep talking about Buffy, Dollhouse didn't do as well. Like, it had a good first season. I didn't really care about the second season very much. So, I mean, there's stuff out there. It's not completely, you know, empty, but it's like, there's just, I don't know, we're still looking for like, you know, the next big thing. And yeah, there's Batwoman out right now. And I guess it's like mixed feelings with that, depending on where you see it. So
yeah, it's ratings are lower than some of the other CW shows, but it's not as low as other shows out there.
Yeah, I know that right now. I think it's in this. I'm not going to share that because I didn't fact check it. So never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's.
Well, with Kate Kane. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
With Kate Kane, that line, like, you also have to realize that Kate Kane really, she's not the biggest fan of guns in the first place. So, right. And that's kind of her character. So, just keep that in your back pocket, I suppose.
Yeah, but I guess people are kind of tired of that, you know, the man-hating. There's, you know, there's a lot of things that have been spoken on the media, you know, with... You know, people just, I guess it's just a different time and I don't want to be like the kind of person to just suck it up. I want a good story that's well written and not, you know, too much in one direction,
the other.
You know, that kind of thing.
I think it's funny. We just have like decades and decades of misogyny, and then all of a sudden a handful of years of some maybe off color anti-men remarks and everyone freaks out. It's just, I don't know.
Well, I'll call out all things wrong. When you show me something that's wrong, I try to, and except for my irrational hatred of Sony Pictures, but devotion to Sony PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I try to be consistent, and I'll be facetious and joke around sometimes, but I do believe myself to be a mostly fairly consistent person, and wrong is wrong and, mm-hmm. and right is right. And I'm not one for, eye for an eye type person.
Sure.
I'm really not, yeah. You know? So that's why for me personally, and because I'll call out, this thing from 1995, horrible, sexist, it's garbage. Yeah. This female line from 2019, it's horrible, sexist, garbage. I'll call them both out. I know not everybody does that, and we need everybody to get to that consistency. But something I want to bring up, because I'm really interested in what my sister's opinion is on this. It's kind of a combination, because Jammer, you and I have had this conversation before. Gatekeeping. Which is like having litmus tests for females on whether or not they're real geeks to get into gaming communities, comic communities, being able to do podcasts about comic book movies and whatnot, gatekeeping, and gatekeeping in the way of sociologically of keeping females, young girls from getting into geek and pop culture. Things. Courtney, what do you think? The severity, because there is some gatekeeping. There's always going to be some guy that's, you know, neckbeard basement dweller who's like, hey, if you can't tell me this, that, and the other, you're not a real Batman fan. What do you think the severity of gatekeeping is for getting into fandoms? And what do you think society in general is doing keeping females from getting into geek and pop culture? And I'll bring this up as an example. Ghostbusters 2016 bombed. It bombed really, really bad. But if the 50% of the population that's female had went and supported it, it wouldn't have bombed really, really bad. The simple fact was is nobody went and watched it, male or female. So I mean
nobody. That movie made $230 million.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying relatively, that's an overstatement.
Speaking, yeah, okay. Relatively speaking, nobody went and saw it. But Courtney, gatekeeping into fandoms and gatekeeping getting into geeky things in general with girls at young ages, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's still terrible for the simple fact that, okay, so I used to have like a Tumblr. And so certain fandoms that girls are allowed in usually tend to be Supernatural, Doctor Who, sometimes Firefly, God forbid you try to get into Battlestar Galactica, God forbid you try to get into certain Marvel things and Batman things. I have been at like... You, as a female, wanting to learn a little bit more about the Batman series, because I had read one episode of a Tim Drake Robin comic book when his father was killed by Captain Boomerang. And I was just like, this seems like a really cool story. And I want to know more about this. And so I started like asking some questions, and literally I would say after like my second question or post of wanting some more information, it was like, you don't know Batman. This isn't even the first Robin. This is the third Robin. I bet you don't even know who the first Robin is. What's his name? Do you know what he did? Do you know how his parents died? Do you even know that his parents died? And it's like, no, I don't, because I'm trying to get into this fandom. So it's like, if you don't have prior knowledge as a female, you're even more discounted than ever, because, well, first of all, you have a vagina and they're afraid of those, apparently. And it's probably more ways than
one. Well, it bleeds, yeah. And it doesn't die.
Right? I mean, like, we're super we're kind of like superheroes. Men can't bleed for 5 days and not die.
That's true.
I'm just thinking of Metalocalypse right now. That's brutal.
That's the most metal thing ever.
Yeah.
And that, so it's difficult. So I had to like go on my own and try to find some other things to find out more about the comic. And then, you know, eventually I was like, oh my gosh, I love Tim Drake. He's my favorite Robin. And then moving on to even like some of the Marvel things, like I really started my Marvel journey with Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man in that movie. And from there, it was like, oh, I really want to know more. And again, we are just stopped, and even more so in the gaming world. I have a lot of friends who play like Dungeons and Dragons. My husband is a huge Twitch streamer. He loves Dr. Disrespect. Dr. Disrespect, if you're watching this or listening to this, you're amazing. And like even just reading the chat, because when you're watching people play video games online through Twitch, you see people in the chat, and God forbid anybody say that they're a woman, because then the questions start coming. How long have you been a gamer? What kind of chair are you sitting in? Do you have this mouse? No, then get out. You are not a true gamer. You know, even those more friendly games like Kingdom Hearts, which you would think would be a little bit more inclusive considering it's Disney mixed with Final Fantasy. Even a few of the friends of mine that are males that play it were like, did you even play the first and second one? And, you know, of course, my first instinct is like, Muggle, please. Did I play the first and second one? Let me tell you, you know, Harry Potter is female friendly. Supernatural is female friendly. You have these very few fandoms, because when you think about how big the fandom world is, geek culture is, it is almost endless. Almost endless. But when it comes to some of those older ones, especially Dungeons and Dragons, and especially Battlestar Galactica, you cannot enter if you're a woman without jumping through hurdles that no guy is ever going to have to jump through. Yeah. If I wanted to join a Dungeons and Dragons game, I would have to already have an entire character invented. I would have to know their eye color, how many eyelashes are on their eye, when their period is, and how many times they have their period within a year. Obviously, I cannot be a guy. I'm a girl. You know, so it's just, I feel like we still have a really long way to go. Now, is it as bad as maybe 1960 or 1970? No, of course not. But we can't sit there and judge something based on that. It's over 50 years ago.
And I do have something to add when you're done.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. Something that Kyle has told me, that when he has played games in the past, if, you know, there's a woman on there, it's either sometimes like guys are afraid to talk to her, or they'll say stuff that's really sexual. So it's not just the, you know, let's find out what she knows and, you know, like, you know, attack her like that. It's also like, you know, stuff like that too.
To the second part of the question, Courtney, society, parents, keeping girls from getting into geeky things to start with. Do you think that's a big problem today?
I don't. I think the parents letting their kids get into girls getting into geeky things is definitely not as bad, because millennials are now parents, and soon, and Gen X are now parents. And so they're not, you know, we don't have the boomer generation anymore. They're the grandparents now. So this newer generation is going to have, I think, a bigger leg up compared to like what I grew up with, what Christine grew up with. Just because we're still kind of in that geek fandom. Like, I mean, with you guys and Lucas, you're bestowing your knowledge upon him. And same with my husband and I and Connor. Yeah, he's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle bow ties because duh. Thank you. I think that's going to definitely help. But it's still, we're still living in this generation of those who are millennials and don't have children, or are Gen X and still don't have kids and still have that kind of, we were raised by boomer mentality. So we have a little bit of that boomer, preconceived notions, I'll go ahead and say, try to give people a little bit more credit than they actually deserve. So I think that is good. But I mean, when you hear your kid say, you know, oh, they won't let me play, what's the first thing you usually say? Not, we'll go try again. It's, we'll go find someone different to play with. So it's kind of scary that way, because I think girls are turning their backs on geeky things because their parents are telling them, well, why don't you try to play with someone who does want to play with you? Or why don't you talk with someone who does want to talk to you? And so that initial spark of interest is eventually going to fizzle out. And I think that's a bigger problem.
Jammer, your take?
I don't remember the question, but
severity of gatekeeping today. And
I can't comment on that. I don't know. I'm just a dude who's 30 years old or 31 years old. I have no idea what gatekeeping is like for women nowadays.
Okay.
What
do you think about
best friend?
what do you think about society keeping young girls from getting into geeky things these days? I know you don't have kids of your own, but sure. You've got a niece, I think you said once.
No, not a niece, goddaughter.
Goddaughter.
It's getting better, but it's still pretty sectioned off. And to sort of take a side tangent, it's kind of the same way for younger boys in a different way. Like I knew some people who didn't want their kid to be into Frozen or Frozen 2 because it was a female thing. So yeah, there's still those sort of gendered properties that parents see. And that exists on both sides. So
Cameron loves some Frozen.
I love me some Frozen. Frozen's the shit. Except Frozen 2, I didn't like Frozen 2 that much. But I like Frozen 1. Frozen 1 was great.
Into the end.
I like that song. I just wish that movie was better. It is a great song.
Yeah, for me, I wouldn't want Lucas to get into Frozen because that's not a movie I want to see 5 times a day. And that's what kids do. And so it's kind of like we did that with like a lot of the baby shows and stuff. It's like, let's not ever show him this. Let's look at this, you know, it's like kind of like guide your kid to get away from the really irritating stuff. Like that's for me, like Lucas has gotten, you know, girl stuff. Like he just bought with some of the Christmas money that he got a Lego set that had the Lego Movie 2 stuff.
But the girl side.
Yeah, the girl side of stuff. And that's what he picked out. And I was like, oh, that's great. So, we don't care.
Unit Kitty is my hero.
Well, since Jammer doesn't feel like he has a spot to answer that, Christine, you have an interesting story to tell because your own parents were kind of gatekeepers from geek culture with you and letting you get into things. So what do you think about the severity of gatekeeping? And
yeah, honestly, it wasn't much on geek culture, although like some things, like, you know, I don't think my parents would have driven me to the comic book shop and you know, any of that. I don't think they would have done that. I never asked, but like my dad wouldn't let me mow his lawn ever. So it wasn't until like a couple years after we were married, because we had that apartment. It was when we were in Georgia. That was the first time that I had ever mowed a lawn because I wasn't allowed. It had to be perfect. So it was something that I wasn't allowed to touch. You know, it's just some things like that I had to learn on my own. Like changing a tire. I hadn't learned at home. So I had a friend, a female friend, teach me how to change a tire. So there's just some things like that.
What about getting into geeky things online? I mean, I know you don't do forums as much as Courtney does, but you've felt, I would hope that us here at LRM have been mostly welcome to you discussing things on Slack and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had a single problem.
Look at that, Jammer. You run a good crew.
I try.
Yeah. Even like with the comic book shop that we had went to in Georgia, like just, hey, you like this? Here, we'll try this out, you know. So
we knew the guy from school, so
yeah, but he still I hadn't known him. He knew who I was. So, but he still was like open to share anything like, oh, check this out, guys. I think you both will like it, or I think you'll like it. So there've been a lot of, you know, positives. Negatives, I haven't really, I don't think I've experienced any, except like at home, my parents, that I think I know which one that you were leading to. With Magic the Gathering, my parents didn't want me to get involved with Magic the Gathering. So there's a little bit, not as much for me, but then again, I'm not heavy on social media, so I don't get the negatives. I do know that they exist.
Mm-hmm. You're a happier person not having been on social media.
I was just about to say that. I was like, stay young, stay pure.
So it's been a great conversation, everybody. I really, really appreciate you guys being a part of this, and I hope the audience is getting a little something out of it. I'll kind of sum things up because I'm the man and it's my show. So
okay then.
With the patriarchy.
there's good and bad these days. All of us have our own little takes on the thing on certain things. And that's great. It's fine for somebody to have feelings and opinions on them. One thing I just ask of the fandom is be consistent. Whatever you're going to be consistent. Be a consistent asshole. I hope you don't.
Maybe shoot. No, or you can grow as a human being and change your mind. That's an option.
Grow. I completely agree. Do you know what I'm trying to get at by be consistent?
Yeah, I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah. Okay.
Consistent.
Grow by all means, yes. Please, if you are a bigot, grow out of that. But if you're not a bigot, be consistent in your expectations of people. Don't if you're gatekeeping equally both male and female. If a dude can't answer how many episodes of The Real Ghostbusters did J. Michael Straczynski write? Then treat him equally as terrible as a female who can't answer how many episodes of Real Ghostbusters J. Michael Straczynski wrote. Because for those of you that didn't know, J. Michael Straczynski wrote for The Real Ghostbusters. Murder, She Wrote as well. Anyways, great conversation, guys. I think that there's still ways to go, and I think there's some good things to get there, and there's some bad ways to get there. I don't think animosity works ever. I don't think the vengeance, eye for an eye, like I said earlier, works no matter how desperately somebody might want to use their position to get vengeance for perceived sins of the past or even actual sins of the past. But does anybody have any last words on the subject or anything else that we discussed?
I think we're going in the right direction. I think also people need to chill and be okay with, you know, female-led properties. It's okay if they exist. I know a lot of times people get really upset, and I've seen them in the comments. They exist. And get over it. It's fine. Just because there are more properties made for her doesn't mean that you can't watch it, and doesn't mean that there aren't going to be other properties made for you.
Yeah. And I'll say this, Battlestar Galactica was one of the things. Courtney, you can remember our father bitching about Boomer and Starbuck being turned into females, but did not dad and end up enjoying that show.
No.
Courtney?
Yeah. So I agree.
You remember him actually ending up liking it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that. I was a huge Battlestar Galactica fan. I didn't care for the campy old 70s one, so I didn't care about the gender swap at all. But my father did bitch about it, And then he ended up watching the whole series and really enjoying it. So
it needed the change because it's like no one wants to watch a bunch of dudes.
So, if something, it's like the 007 change, you know. I said that for a long time. I never wanted to see James Bond become Jamie Bond, but I was always okay with Susan Smith becoming 007. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a title. It's a position that can be passed on. But James Bond will always be James Bond. It'll be a he. It could be a he of any ethnicity or color. But James Bond needs to be a he. 007 can be a she. That's fine with me. Is that similar to your thoughts, Courtney?
We should have original female characters. We shouldn't have to always just replace a male character with the female counterpart.
There you go. You know what? I know I was wrapping things up, but let me bring that up. Original characters versus gender swapping, Courtney. Which one do you prefer?
That's a leading question.
What do you think she's
going to say? No. I want the unoriginal characters only.
So let me phrase it this way. This is a conversation Jammer and I have had several times. There is a lack of original characters to adapt, and therefore some people find that gender or race swapping existing characters in the meantime is a positive thing to do. Do you agree with that, like, as a stopgap while you're creating original characters to continue to gender and or race swap, or would you prefer to not do the gender race swap and put forth like double the effort on original characters? What would Courtney do in that situation? What is your desires to see in that situation?
So I desire like a Peter Parker passing the baton to a Miles Morales. So I am A-okay with Iron Man finding a fantastic, young, smart or old smart woman and saying, I am too old for Iron Man. Here's the suit. Let me train you. Those things I'm okay with. I hate when it's like all of a sudden these original characters are now have the same name or have a feminine name, like you said, James Bond turned into Jamie Bond, which any kind of, I think, female-led thing can be positive because there is going to be women out there who will connect, and that's always positive. Same thing on the male side. Anytime a child specifically connects with a character, that's always a positive thing, in my opinion. But I do wish that we had more original, amazing female characters. If you can do it for men, you can do it for women.
Okay. Yeah, put in the effort.
Okay. Jammer, any comments?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I honestly think that race swapping for, you know, existing comic book characters is fine as long as, you know, their race isn't integral to their character. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I think it's fine. But yeah, if you can go with original characters, that's better. But I don't see any reason why we have to just have a bunch of, you know, just be 100% white guys until there are enough characters written in 10 years for this to start adapting those. I don't necessarily see why that is the way to go. Because how many Latino characters are there?
Not a lot.
Like there's Ghost Rider, but that's even like an evolution.
America Chavez, Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only two I can think of. Yeah, off the top of my
that's
head.
All. And there's how many in the MCU? There's Luis from freaking Ant-Man. I think that's it. So
and he's a joke character too.
And so. He's a joke character, and I actually don't mind him that much because he's funny. But like.
He's
still,
hilarious.
They still should have had him recap the MCU leading to
Endgame. They should have. That would have been great. But yeah, like in the meantime, as you know, as a brown guy, I wouldn't mind them race swapping some of those characters for the future, as long as it's not integral that, you know, they're white. Like I don't, as long as it's not like come from Italian heritage and part of the mafia and then is decided to, you know, that type of shit that somehow
yeah, that
would be weird. I got a question. Maybe I'll pose this to you before, Jammer. Do you think Hollywood uses or even comic book creators use the fact that race swapping happens as an excuse not to create? Do you think race swapping stifles creation of new characters?
I can't say because I am not as in tune with the comic book creation world as I am with the film world. So I can't say for sure, but I do know that the artist world is super diverse and they're all about that stuff. And oftentimes they do get stifled by people who are making decisions based on what they think will sell.
Yeah.
I can't say with the, you know, by a fact that that's been done recently because of those reasons that you mentioned, but I just know that the artist world is very diverse now. So,
That's a whole another discussion is the market and what sells, because at the end of the day, everything does depend on what is going to sell for the people at the top of companies.
But at the end of the day, they do often get stuck in outdated ideas, and that stifles growth for years and years and years.
And it's,
they're making those assumptions based on old stereotypes and old data that is no longer valid. I don't quite agree with you on that end, because it's like, oh yeah, well they need to make money. Well, it's like, yeah, well fucking take a risk, because you know, that's part of the business, is taking a risk every now and then and going with it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people shouldn't take risks. When I say that the market dictates things, that's not necessarily me siding with the stuffy old white dudes in the boardrooms making the decision. I'm just stating why the decision was made.
Well, I'm saying it's based on old data. That's my point a lot of times. And so, it's not reflective of what's now. It's reflective of old data. So I can't really defend that. Oh, I can't really defend him making those decisions for money when it's just based on old, outdated data.
Yeah, I get it. Well, thank you all three of you for being on the show. Make sure everybody is checking out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news needs. We've got a YouTube channel with a lot of great content there, and of course the LRM Online Podcast Network. Wherever you get your shows from, we are everywhere. Like, share, subscribe, leave some notes, tell us what you think below about today's topics, and definitely give us feedback, because we work for you, the audience. What you like, what you want to see and hear, we have to know, so we can help us to help you. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my stuff at LRMonline.com.
Courtney, do you want to share your Twitter for anybody to communicate with you?
Oh, heckies, yes. I am all about that. So follow me at Courtney, and that's KOURTNI.
There you go. And you can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Christine does not have a Twitter account, and she doesn't use her Facebook anymore anyways. So if you, since she does do LR Mornings with me often, you guys should yell at me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, so I can then yell at her for you. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you all for joining. And it's Friday, so have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Later.